Now, if you have your Bible, if you would stand up and raise it above your head. Isn't that good that we can change things up a little bit, right? You notice I didn't say good, I said good, right? All right, you may be seated. Matthew chapter 5, a lot of you may know this story is called the Sermon on the Mount. Actually, this chapter is part of the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus stood on the mount and he preached to his disciples, his followers, the believers. He gathered them around them and he was telling them things. We know the first part of Matthew chapter 5 as the Beatitudes. These Beatitudes, this may sound familiar to you. He opened his mouth and he taught them. Verse 2, blessed are the poor in spirit. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn. Verse 5, blessed are the meek. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Verse 11, blessed are you when men shall revile you. In all those things, he said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Understand what he meant by blessed are you. Blessed are these people. Blessed are those people. Blessed means happy, at peace, fulfilled. He says it, verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Do you realize that you could go through all those things? When he says poor in spirit, what does that mean? How many people want to be poor in spirit? We don't want to be poor in anything, do we? Poor in spirit means you realize you're lacking in your spiritual sense. Do you realize that has to happen before you can get saved? So he's saying, no matter when you go through these things, there'll be a certain happiness that you'll have knowing you're drawing closer to God. And then some of these attributes, merciful, pure in heart, peacemaker, some of these things, well, they're bound to happen to you if you're walking with Jesus, if you have a relationship with him. Maybe sometimes in our life we get to the point of thinking, okay, well, I see these other people doing these things, but I'm not really inclined to. Have you ever been at that position to where you go to church and you know that you're supposed to do something and you end up doing it because somebody says you ought to do it, but you're really not feeling it? You ever been at that part? Just two of us? Just two of us? Sometimes we go through the motions, don't we? Now, Jesus said, well, you can find happiness and joy. He's giving these Beatitudes. If these things exist in you, and listen, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're walking with him, if you're a believer, not somebody that knows there is a God, if you're a true believer, then some of these things will exist in you. As we talked about last week, these fruits of the Spirit will exist in you when you're walking with God and God is walking with you. There'll be a strength. You'll face adversity, but there'll be a strength to get through it. It doesn't ever promise that your life won't have areas in it that will fall apart. It promises you that you won't have to walk through those areas alone. This Christian thing, just for the record, and I don't know who else will claim this, but just for the record, I'm not getting paid to stand up here and lie to you. As a matter of fact, I started doing this before I was paid. I don't get any points for carrying on this facade that says, oh, well, I'm a happy Christian. I'm not pretending. This is not that God thing I'm trying to sell to you. I have a personal relationship with God Almighty through his son Jesus Christ, and I will be the first one to tell you I do not deserve it. But I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I believe that the only way that I can have fellowship with God is to accept that Jesus died on the cross as a sacrificial lamb. That his blood is what I have to believe in to cover my sins. Not that I was good enough. Not that I happened to go to church at this certain place, not that I had these good works, not that I was able to help this old lady across the street, or that I've given to UNICEF every year for the last 10 years. None of that makes a difference. Are they good things? Yes, they are, but they don't save me. What saves me is when I come to a point of realizing I am separated from God. And what separates me from God? My sin. God is a holy God. And the Bible says that, well, let's just talk about me a minute. I'm a sinner. I've sinned. Have you sinned? I've sinned in thought, I've sinned in word, and I've sinned in deed. Some of the sins I've sinned, you don't know about. Some of the sins you've sinned, I don't know about. But God knows that we are a sinner. We have this propensity in our mind to think the wrong thing, to feel the wrong thing. It could be a sin of pride. It could be a sin of jealousy. It could be a sin of hate. It could be a sin of slothfulness. It could be a sin of unfaithfulness. It could be a sin of unbelief. It could be a sin of unforgiveness. But in some way or another, I'll harbor this sin sometimes. And because of that, well, that separates me from God. What I want to tell you is that God doesn't want us to be separated from Him. God doesn't want us to be apart from Him. So He made a way for us not to be separated. He made a way. What is that way? That way is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Right? Do you believe that? So, Jesus became the only way you could come to the Father. Otherwise, we're all in darkness. So, I'm getting to what we're going to talk about today. You see, after He talked about these Beatitudes, after He talked about what we needed to represent, what we needed to be, then He said, here's what you are as believers. You are the salt of the earth. So we've heard the sermons, many sermons on salt and light, and I don't want to give you a sermon on salt and light. I want to give you a sermon that God laid on my heart about maybe the way that we shine, maybe the way that we savor something. So let's talk about salt, first of all, and I won't talk about it long. This salt, He says, you're the salt of the earth. Read this with me, verse 13. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It sends forth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men. Salt. Does salt make everything taste better? Well, to me it does. Why? It just brings out something that's in there, right? It's the savor. It has to be better. And listen, I'm going to go biblical on you for those that don't like salt. If it didn't make things better, He wouldn't have used it as an example, all right? He knows that salt adds the savor, but salt also is a preservative. Salt preserves. So He says, you're the salt of the earth. You're my witness. You're the preservation of Jesus Christ. You are that. If you're on this earth and you're a child of God, you've accepted Jesus, you're down here to preserve His presence. That's why you're called the body of Christ. But also, you're there to where if you shake yourself on anything, it ought to change it like salt does. But if you're ineffective salt, like some of the salt they would get from some of those seas around there, that salt wasn't good for anything. They said the only thing it's good for is to throw it in the road so it'll kill the grass. I don't want to be that kind of salt, do you? So as far as salt, am I changing every dynamic, every situation, every people group that I'm around? Am I that salt that changes that group? Or do I act as a preservative? Do I preserve the presence of Jesus here? Can somebody tell Jesus is in me? So am I that salt? But salt's not even what we're going to talk about today. The thing that I want to talk about is what I talked about with the kids, about the light. Because He makes a statement in verse 14, and He says, ye are the light of the world. The light of the world. Let's read it together. Verse 14. You're the light of the world. You're the light of the earth. But if the salt, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What did He tell us that we were? Are you the light of the world because you walked into this church today? Absolutely not. I would not have you believe that. We don't get a pass because we walked into church, okay? All of a sudden, we are God's chosen people because we're here. The universal fatherhood of God is something that some theology that somebody put out there that just makes us all feel better, that if you're here today, you are God's child and you're going to heaven and you're doing this and that. Well, then you would rebuke Jesus because Jesus says the only way to get to the Father is through Him. There has to be a personal acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Savior. There has to be a personal time when you ask Him to forgive your sins. When that happens, He says we are the light. He was speaking to believers here, the light of the world. But then He says something else, the city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. So I noticed two things there that He's telling us. First of all, He was telling the disciples they had a valuable purpose. They're supposed to be the light of the world. Without light, the world would be what? This is an easy one. It would be what? Right, so in order for it not to be dark, you need what? You need light. He says, you're the light of the world. Is the world a dark place sometimes? My little parts of the world are dark sometimes, so I need that light. Not this physical light, but the light of Jesus. He said, your purpose, what makes you valuable is that you're the light of the world. Do you know that everybody needs to have value? Everybody needs to have a purpose. So many times when I talk to somebody that's discouraged, somebody that's depressed, somebody that just doesn't want to keep going on, the one thing that every person has in common is that their value has taken a hit. They feel like they don't have a value. And people don't feel like they have a value if they don't have a purpose. This happens so many times, and the devil uses it to discourage. And what God is doing here is he's saying, listen, no matter what you're going through, no matter what happens, no matter how useful you think you are, whether it be in your job or whether you're a husband, whether you're a wife, whether you're a child, whether you're a friend, whether you're a coworker, a student, no matter what it is, you have value because you are the light of the world. Without you, the world would be what? Dark. So he's telling them the purpose, and then he tells you the position you're supposed to be in. Listen to this position. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. He said a city that is set on the hill that cannot be hid, meaning that if there's a city that has the position on the top of a hill, it's easily identifiable, isn't it? Let's imagine a stranger that's walking through a place, and let's just say the place is dark. Maybe it's the woods part of a place, or maybe it's the urban part of a place, but all of a sudden the world gets dark, and then all of a sudden you see a city. But the city is set on top of what? A hill. So you're able to see it clearly, and he uses this example. He's saying, well, you're that light, but you're also that city. You're that place of refuge. You're a place that somebody can come to that's easily identifiable. You say, how do you know he's saying that? Because he goes on in the following verses. After he said something about their purpose and position, he goes on, like in verse 15, and he states the obvious to his disciples. Listen, here's the obvious. He explains to them and to us that our purpose of being the light of the world, our position is being clearly visible to anybody around us. It can only happen, listen, it can only happen if we're not hiding our light. Now, how many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you think on a daily basis you may be guilty of hiding your light? Please don't answer, because it'll make everybody beside of you feel bad or feel good. The only way that anybody can see or easily see our light is if we clearly stand out and we expose our light. You remember this light that I kept here in my pocket, right? I had it on the whole time, but the only time that they saw it is when I pulled it out, right? And it could be right here the whole time, just like this, and you'd never know it. But when I go like this, or especially if it gets darker, or maybe something happens in my world, how many times has your world gotten dark, and then all of a sudden you pull out your Jesus? Anybody pulled out your Jesus? I mean, on a daily, on an hourly basis, once the world gets dark? And he was there the whole time. But it had to get dark for us to pull it out. And then we keep it tucked in here. We're ready. We've got him. But right now, I mean, there's really no need for it. Listen, what Jesus is saying is that there's always a need. You're supposed to be that city that's set on the hill. How many of you know what everybody else in here is going through? Anybody? Neither do I. But I know, as I've explained to people before, and we've had, you know, we're blessed to have people join the church. And as I'm talking to them, I'm trying to explain to them, hey, listen, there's people even in this church body. There's people in this church body that you can minister to better than I can. There's people that you can share an experience, or God's let you go through something and you've come out on the other side, that you're going to be able to minister to them better than I am. That's the way God makes up a body. So you have to be that city that's set on a hill, even to your Christian brothers and sisters. But there's somebody that you're working beside of, somebody in your family, somebody you're going to school with, somebody that's a neighbor, somebody in your friend group. There's somebody that needs to see that city that's set on the hill. Well, verse 15 says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. That's just the King James word for bowl. But they put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Pretty neat usage of the word here, and pretty neat. I don't know that I ever looked at it the way that he was leading me to look at it, but it's the obvious. Do you light a candle and then put it under a bowl? No. Let's bring it in today's terms, okay? How many people like to walk into your house at night and there be a light on so that when you come into your house, you see a little light? Anybody? Right. So do you go back to the bedroom that's got the closet in it in the back of the house and cut that closet light on so that you can see when you come into the house? Why not? Well, it'd be foolish, wouldn't it? Well, I mean, the light's on, it's just not where anybody can see it. Or maybe you cut the light on in the next room, but then you shut the door. Well, it's not going to light that room. So that's what he's saying. Why would you cut a light on? Why would you need a light? Why would you light your candle and then hide it? No. He says, but you would put it on a candlestick. You would put it where everybody could see it. And then the last part, listen. You would put on a candlestick and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So I began to think. My light that comes from Jesus. I know that I accepted the Lord as my Savior. I know that I had that light, that spiritual light, because if I have Jesus in me, I have light in me. And we're going to learn a little bit about that light. But that light, I don't know that it's always been in the front room where it's trying to light everything. I mean, we're busy. We got a lot of things going on in our house. Let's step out of everything except your house right now. Let's start in your personal house, moms, dads. We have a lot of college students that are home from Thanksgiving now. Let's start in your house. Right now is your house, your dorm room, your friend groups you're around. High school students, middle school students, your house, where you're at, your people that are around you. Is your light so shining that it's lighting up your whole house, that anybody that comes into your presence is going to see that light? Because that's what it's saying. You wouldn't hide that light. You would put it where your coworkers or your employees or your employers or anybody could see it. Isn't that what he's saying? Why else would you have your candle lit? Well, then I would need to understand the significance of the light, so we'll go on a little. Verse 16. He gives the command to his disciples, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light be so exposed, not hidden, put on a candlestick. Let it be that kind of light. Don't hide your light. Tell the person beside of you, don't hide your light. Tell the person on the other side of you, don't hide your light. That seems comical. It seems, okay, of course I wouldn't hide my light. I look back on my life and I realized I have no doubt in my mind when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I know when I look back on my Christian life, there have been areas in my life where I have hid my light. It wasn't convenient for me to show my light. I convinced myself that I shouldn't show my light. Oh, even to strangers and to acquaintances, but there's times my light wasn't really shining to even those people that were in my household. Now, did he light my world? Yeah. What was my responsibility? Hide it? No. Show it. I don't want to get too remedial with you. I don't want to bore you. I don't want to have to wake you up. So let me talk about why we need light. You answered the question a minute ago. We need light because light dispels what? Darkness. Darkness is actually the absence of light. He tells us to be this light, but I'm a little confused when I read this and I realize that the scripture told me that I'm the light of the world. I remember reading scripture that said Jesus is the true light. So who's the light, him or me? And I want us to be able to discover who's the light, him or us, and what responsibilities do we have? So I would understand that the way I would get to this would be to look at darkness. What is darkness? And I want you to understand the simple definition of darkness. Darkness is a place of no light. That's what you told me. But in the Bible, darkness refers to sin, always to sin. Darkness is not a place that has light. So that's as simple as we can state it. And God is light, 1 John. Jesus is light, the book of John, chapter 1. So if you are in the darkness, are you in the presence of God? No. And do you realize in this world there are places where we're not in the presence of God? Oh, God can see us, but we're not walking with Him. So darkness, by simple definition, would be the place where you're not in fellowship with God. Either you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, or you have and you're not walking with Him. Have you ever been in that place of darkness? Now, let me go back to the beginning of this chapter, because he said you need to rejoice, you need to have joy in you. You see, Christians have painted a picture today that you are some kind of dogmatic person that walks around that doesn't believe in this and doesn't believe in this, and I can't go through life and enjoy life, and this is wrong and this is wrong, and listen, this is terrible and the world's doing this, and I don't have any friends. Listen, I've never had as big a family as I have with my church family. I've never found the amount of peace with anything that I've tried to buy or tried to earn as I have the peace of Jesus Christ. I've never been able to have the comfort like I have, that I have the comfort of the Lord, no matter what I'm going through. So I'm not selling you Jesus today. I'm telling you to walk in His light. There's a sense of joy. It's not a gimmick. It's not that God thing. Amen. Thank you, Audrey. I'm glad it is for you too, honey. It should be for everybody. It should be something that we're not ashamed to proclaim. Because there's somebody here that's still thinking that it is. And they're glad that me and Audrey don't think it is. It's part of our light that we have to shine, so that they may see your good works. Verse 16. Why? So they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here's the reason. That light that Jesus gives me is not for me to see the way. The light that Jesus gives me is for you to see the way. The light that Jesus gave you is for me to see the way. Jeff, do you know that when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that the light called Jesus came into your heart? Do you know that light is not for you? That light is for me also. Listen to what he says. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You mean my light is actually so somebody else can see? Yes, but if you get to the point to where you're shining your light so somebody else can see, you're glorifying yourself. You're not glorifying your Father. And he tells you that your light's supposed to shine so that somebody can see God in you. Does that make sense? As simple as that. This darkness, this place of no light, is a place of no fellowship with God. It's a place of, could be a place of broken fellowship with God. As a Christian, I know that I've been that person before who knows they've accepted the Lord as their Savior, but I've broken fellowship with Him. I didn't lose my salvation. Jesus saved me. He told me in John 10, nobody could snatch me out of His hand. But did I turn my back and choose not to walk with Him? Yes. Did I take my light and put it in my jacket and hide it? Yes. Did I have people around me that had no idea I had a light? Yes. There were people around me, and I took the easy route. You know how we want to assume everybody is okay? We're bad about that. You know, that person, I know them. They're a good Christian person. Really, so you've talked to them about salvation? No. I mean, they go to church and they believe in God. And the Bible says in the book of James, even the devil believes in God. The whole world believes there is a God. That's the new thing. There is a God. You call Him what you want to call Him. I'll call Him what I want to call Him. But no, there's only one true and living God, and you have to accept His gift, Jesus Christ, as your Savior in order to be with Him, in order to come out of broken fellowship with Him. And when you do that, you have a light. Who is your light shining to? Is it in the center of the house? Is it in the center? If it is, then everyone that's in your house, whether your house is your physical home, parents with your children there, young people, whoever you're living around, whether it be a college roommates or high school, the people that you're interacting, going to school with, co-workers, whatever it is, your house, the place you're at, does everybody in your house see your light? Can they pass by and it's easily identifiable? It's that city that's set on a hill. Do they know where to come to? Or do we just pull it out when things get bad? Or does somebody only see it when it really gets dark? This light we just abuse sometimes. But I want us to understand the light really is something we're just carrying around. Can I make a confession to you today? He told me I'm the light of the world, but I don't really have a light. I really don't. I don't have a light. Like, I can't light your world. I could come in today and I could be happy and cheerful and I could tell you that something good happened to me, but my light has no consistency because something could happen bad to me tomorrow and I would go right out. That's what happens too many times to people that are following and looking at Christians. We come in and we're on top of the world and then we're the most complaining, the most irritable, the most arguing kind of people you would ever want to meet. Who wants to be that? How you doing today? Well, I'm doing good, but this happened and this happened, and I don't know what I'm going to do and this and that. Well, he's a Christian. I don't want any of that. I'll tell you what, we kick our can down the road all the time. I can't have nothing, right? Everything's happened to me. This is going to happen. I'm a worrier. I'm a fretter. I'm a complainer. I'm an arguer. Is that any kind of light? No. Listen, the people around us need to have the light shown to them so that they can see the presence of the Lord. Listen, our light, I have no light, you have no light. The light comes from Jesus, and John explains that. Listen to John chapter 1. Listen to how he goes back and he identifies Jesus as the light. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now listen to this. In him was life. What do you mean in Jesus was life? Do you know that the life that he's talking about means a living being in Jesus was life? Do you know that my life here on this earth, the availability of life here on this earth in the presence of God is through Jesus Christ? Do you know my eternal life, meaning that I'm going to avoid hell, meaning that I can go to heaven for eternity, my eternal life? Well, it's in Jesus. I have to believe in Jesus. Does anybody know another way? No. In him was life. Now, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen to what it says. In him was life, and that life, listen, was the light of man. And that light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. It means it can't cover it up. Jesus is the light. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't automatically get a light. You get Jesus. He is the light that shines. So in your everyday work, if you're not talking about Jesus, if you're not praising him, if you're not praying to God, if you're not fellowshipping with God, if you're not telling somebody else, let your light therefore shine to other people, right? Shine before men. Remember it said that? If you're not doing that, what good is your light? And how often is it on? We cut it on this morning, didn't we? Will it be on tomorrow morning this time? Or the next day? Or the next day? Do we choose a time to cut it on and cut it off? How do we treat our light? It's supposed to, let me see. He said, neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel. They put it on a candlestick. Let your light so shine before men. What do you mean so shine? Like a candlestick. Let it always shine. Let it shine to light the house. I'll put it in the words of Jesus because I don't want you to take my words for it. John 12, 46. Listen to what he said. He said, I am come as a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. I am come as a light into the world. A light into the world. Who said that? Well, he just had his mission statement, his purpose statement, so that men will not, so that men will not, so that men will not abide in darkness. You could sum up Jesus' purpose in this one statement. What is darkness? Darkness is being out of fellowship with God. In so much so, you might not realize this, but do you realize that when the Bible speaks about hell, in several instances, it tells everything about hell, but it calls it the place of outer darkness. Does that ring a bell to you? The place of outer darkness. Why? Because it is eternal separation from God. That's what darkness is. So if you're in fellowship with God, there should be some kind of light. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He shall have the light of life. Our light's a product of working with God, but some people don't want that light. Do you realize that? You say, I've shined my light, preacher, and still some people don't want it. Well, they're not going to want it. Everybody doesn't want the light. That guy that was sneaking and creeping last night under the windows, getting ready to rob somebody, you think he wanted this light right here? No, light was his enemy. Why? He was doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing. Well, let me put it to you in Jesus' words. You know this verse, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know that verse? He goes on to say, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know that verse? Right. So he said, this is what God offered. But do you know that not every man wants to accept it? And he tells us why. Listen, this is John chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. We don't read this much, but this is what he said. He that believeth on him is not condemned. We don't want to say that anybody is condemned today. It's politically incorrect, isn't it? For me to stand up and say, because you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are condemned to hell. Boy, that would hurt somebody's feelings, right? And we do live in the world of the easily offended, so we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We want to be inclusive. We want to be diverse in what everybody thinks, right? No, Jesus said this. Hold on. Jesus said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, he explains the condemnation. See if this ties in. He said, this is the condemnation. That's how we know what he's talking about. He makes it clear and easy. Listen to the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You say, yeah, those bad people with evil deeds. No, he's talking about us. We don't always want the light, do we? We want the light to be shined. Do I want everything to be printed out right now that goes on through my mind every day? You want a list of it right here? All my thoughts? You want all your thoughts printed out so everybody can read them off of the projector this morning? All your thoughts today so far? You want them? No. I don't want the light to be shined on that. And then there's people that say, hey, listen, you guys have to believe this and you have to go to church and you stand up and you sing and it means you can't go out here and drink and carry on and party and come back and you can't go in here and do these things and you can't go out here and talk like this and do this. Well, listen, that doesn't stop a lot of people from doing those things. But you're more apt to do them if you're not always hearing in the light. You see, when I was away from God and I was hiding my light, my parents said, hey, I want you to come to church. Man, I didn't want to go hear somebody tell me what I wasn't doing. I didn't want to walk into the light. Why? Because my deeds were evil. Oh, it doesn't have to be evil like you're thinking about. I wasn't killing anybody. I was neglecting Jesus Christ. I was neglecting what I needed to be doing. I wasn't the man I was supposed to be. I wasn't the friend I was supposed to be. I wasn't the father I was supposed to be. I wasn't the son I was supposed to be. I wasn't the husband I was supposed to be. I didn't want the light to shine on it because everybody else would know then. Let's just all pretend I'm okay. Let's don't shine any light on it. Guess what? When you come and the Word of God opens, it should shine light on everything we're doing. You say, well, then I don't want to come. Well, then you're never going to be anything but condemned. Until you want to change, you'll want the light. You see, the light is what brings you into the fellowship of God. I needed to see I was wrong. As long as I stayed away from the light, you see, the condemnation is men would rather have darkness than light. As long as I stayed away from the light, there was nothing going to change. Get it to you this way. All right, listen, in order for us to come in fellowship with God, we have to come with a repentant heart. That means we have to ask Him to forgive us. We have to repent and say, God, listen, I don't want to do it anymore. Give me strength not to do it, and I'm sorry for doing it before, right? All right. I'm not going to do that unless I get convicted. And I'm not going to get convicted unless first I feel guilt. And I'm not going to feel guilt unless the light shines on me. You get what I'm saying? So we keep ourselves from the light even as Christians sometimes because it's just better for nobody to talk about it. Well, I'm confessing to you today. I'm preaching to you, and I've told you before. Sometimes I do consider myself, I'm the worst person in the whole place. He's letting me preach. Praise God. Why? I'm just going to preach to me. I'm going to preach about something that I've done. I'm sure it will hit you. Have I failed? Yes. Have I hidden my light before? Yes. But there was a time when He exposed me. Maybe it had to get dark in my world. Maybe it was going dark, and He shined the light on me, and I had to fall down on my knees and say, God, I can't take it anymore. Let me pull out my Jesus that I accepted a long time ago because I need You. And when I did, He started shining the light on different areas of my life. Listen, there's a lot of people that will say, I can't come to God because I don't want to change this, and I can't change this, and I do that. Listen, I don't care what you change. I'm not going to tell you what you need to change. I'm telling you, you need to come to the light, and He'll show you what you need to change. I'm not your judge, and you're not mine. We'll read the Bible together. He'll speak to you, I promise. If He's in your heart, He'll convict you. Our condemnation, It's not what somebody has done. That's what He's saying. With light, it's not what I have done. I could come to you and tell you, listen, I've got something to share with you. I've been a horrible person. I've murdered somebody. Now, this is just, don't take clips of this because I'm just, okay? I've murdered somebody. I've been an unfaithful husband. I've done all kind of terrible things where I've broken the law. I'm just using an example, okay? Never been arrested, just telling you. Not that I shouldn't have, but I never have. Guess what? God doesn't care what I have done. He's willing to forgive what I have done. What stops me from being in fellowship with God is what I refuse to stop doing. That stops me. Can't get in the light. It's not what I have done. It's what I refuse to stop doing. We need to understand Jesus is this light. If you've accepted Him as your Savior, you have His light in you. That's what your light. So let your light shine. Ye are the light of the world. He's saying, ye are my light. Go out and shine. But listen, this is that other part of John chapter 1. He talks about this man named John the Baptist. Listen to how he describes John the Baptist, because this is would be the best prototypical person we could look at explaining this. It says in verses 6 through 9, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He's speaking about John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the what? Light. Now, if you got the right kind of Bible, that light should be capitalized. Why? It's a proper name of Jesus. He's the light. To bear witness of that light, that all men through Him might believe. Why is it that you're supposed to have a light? So that men can see your light. At what time do I need to pull this light out? At all times, like a city that's set on the hill. Hide that city on the hill. How can you hide the city on the hill? Can you hide it? No, it's there. Are you known for your You're light for Jesus? Or are you known for getting a laugh out of somebody by saying something that might be a little, just a little off color? Are you known for your temper? Are you known for your frustration? Are you known for your complaining spirit? Are you known for your sense of worry? Are you known for your dissatisfaction? Or are you known for your light? Because if your light is on a candle, set on a hill, hey, parents, everybody living in your house will know it. It's the priority. It's not just pulled out some point in time. It's in the middle room so that everyone in the house can see. Remember verse 15. It's not when you feel like pulling it out. It's not when this dilemma happens. It's not when, hey, let's be spiritual today. No, it's all the time. That light that sits in my house, let's just say it's sitting in that main room. You got a main room in your house? So that light's there all the time. I had another thought. Then that light hears every conversation that goes on in that house, right? It's because I'm allowing that light to be there. There again, it's watching every single thing that I'm watching on TV. It's right there when I go to this website or that website or this website or that website. It sees what nobody else sees, right? If it's where it's supposed to be, but if I'm hiding it, I just pull it out randomly. We're not supposed to in any way as believers, as recipients of the light of Jesus, we're not supposed to hide our light. If we hide the light that Jesus shined into us, then we stop his work through us here on earth. I will be the first to admit to you that I don't know everything that I'm supposed to do as a Christian. I don't know that tomorrow I will do everything the way I'm supposed to do it. But all I know is if I concentrate on shining the light of Jesus, on praising him for delivering me out of darkness, in finding every opportunity to explain to somebody the peace, or walking around without the worry, letting somebody know I'm a child of God and he's got me, or trusting him when the logical things in my life don't add up. If I do that, somebody's going to see that light. And here's the other thing. He's put somebody there to see the light. God's not dumb. He's not saying, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let Jim shine his light today, and maybe somebody else in the world will come by and see it. God knows what every sparrow is going to eat today. He knows who's going to walk by Jim today. The thing that I have a hard time dealing with is all these years when my light was put up, who did he put by me that I did not shine it to? And I can't change that. But you know what I can change? From here on. So let my light shine. I need to let my light shine to my husband. My wife. We're not that kind of church. If you're a woman, you need to let it shine to your husband if you're married. To your children. What do you mean, let it shine? Do we just talk about Jesus? No. Listen, if I don't see my wife every couple of days, catch her praying, I'm going to ask her, you praying? Why? That's when her light's shining. I want my children to know there's a time that I'm not going to see Dad. I can't even go in there. I know those times, and I'm in there, and she'll say, be quiet, your daddy's praying. You know what they know? Daddy's praying. I'm in a door, in a room with a door that's shut. Guess what's shining out of there? Light. Now, before you say, oh, you must be great. No, it ain't always been like that. I'm not using myself as this great example. I'm saying in a context, in a home, your light shines whenever you do any act to God. From the way you speak to the acts of love. Well, the last verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What are the good works? The good works are any way that we represent God, any way that somebody sees God through our life today. Whether it's an act of compassion, whether it's something that we're doing in obedience, But they're not going to see the light if we're living in disobedience or doing something we're not supposed to be doing. I want to close by just telling you the easiest way that you can shine that light. 1 Peter 2:9. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Listen, he's told us when he saves us, he's identified us as different. We're so busy trying to be politically correct. He tells us we're supposed to show forth praise. We're a peculiar people. We're different. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be set apart. The person that has a problem being different in this world because you're afraid of criticism, that's a pride issue. Your light's not going to shine. You say, well, you don't understand the way it is at work. Let me tell you the way it is at work. You work there because God allows you to work there. There's still a business, a company, a school, an industry or whatever because God allows them to be there. You're not making your wages because you have some skill. God's allowing you the breath to get up and go to work and the wherewithal to get up and go. Praise him for it. Praise him in the marketplace. Praise him on the mountaintops. He doesn't say that when the law says or this kind of policy says you can't praise me, that it gives you a free pass not to praise him. He's not the one that you disobey. We think so much, well, I need to make this amount. It ain't you that makes it. It's God that lets you make it. Better yet, it's him that lets you keep it. You can make all you want to. It ain't about what you make. It's what you keep. Amen. He says you deny him, he'll deny you. What does he want you to do? He wants you to praise him. You know, when you're praising him, your light shines. When you take every opportunity to praise him, your light shines. When you praise him in the midst of adversity, your light shines. When you praise him on the mountaintop, your light shines. The most identifiable light for Jesus is the one that's not hiding, the light that's on a candlestick, the one that looks like the city on the hill. It's the light that's constantly praising God, thanking him for rescuing them out of darkness. I once was lost, but now I'm found, right? That's all he said. The other one said, I once was blind, now I see. This is where he brought me from. This is where he's got me at. I will tell you today that I'm not perfect, but I'm saved. I'm forgiven. And I'm going to try to go out today and live for him. Keyword, try. Well, why? Well, that's why he's given me another day of life. You think God's forgot you're down here on this earth? If you're a Christian, the reason he's giving you breath another day today is for you to go ahead and shine the light to somebody in his kingdom or somebody outside of his kingdom to bring them to you. That's the only reason you're going to be here tomorrow. Or else we're just taking up air. God hasn't forgotten, say, oh, I'm going to get back to Shope next week. No. He left me here today to do something. I want to read to you this description of John in John 1. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 6, the same came to bear witness, for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You say, that's John the Baptist. No, that's us. I don't have a light. My light might lighten your day today. It'll discourage you tomorrow. I don't have a light. I have his light. I'm not hiding my light. I believe sometimes that we're convinced that we can just go on our moody little lives and be up one day and down the next day. But if we got a light for Jesus, it's got to shine every day, no matter how you feel. And I found out something. If I shine his light, I feel better. I feel better. Why? Because when I'm not, I'm shining the wrong light. I'm shining the old light of Shope. You don't find that in any page anywhere in the Bible, right? When I'm shining his light, it's almost like I get companionship. Well, I do. I step out of darkness. I get fellowship. I proclaim Him. You mean all these people around me, they're going to think I'm crazy? I'm going to stand up and say, praise God for something. Guess what? All of a sudden, that nervousness will go away. Why? Because I'm in fellowship with God. I'm not saying it to bring myself glory, but if I'm praising Him, even in the midst of something, somebody's going to see that light. You know what they're going to think? That nut. When they go through their thing and they need to be able to be happy about something, you know who they're going to look for? That nut. That peculiar guy that praised God even when something was going on wrong. That guy that made his children mad and wouldn't allow them to do that because the Bible said it. I can't believe that. Guess when them people come back to you? When they're having problems with their children. And they say, well, maybe you weren't so far off. I say, well, I can't take any credit for it. It's what the Bible said do. So why do you do that in your marriage? And why do you do it? Well, it's because God told me to do it. I'm not smart enough to do it. You get where I'm coming from. It's that light you shine to everybody else. Listen, I know that it's a message we've heard a lot of times, but I felt overwhelmingly led to preach it. I know that we accept when we're saved, we're that light. And He says you're the light of the world, but are you an identifiable light? Is somebody seeing your light every day? It's one thing to be a light, but it's another thing to be hidden. I can have this light that shines, but if it's hidden, or if it only comes in and is visible when the darkest times come, is it really helping anybody? Is it that city set on a hill that can't be hid? No, it's hid. Guys, do you realize the joy, the peace, the blessings that you're going to receive if your light is shining with the consistency that God wants us to shine our light? I mean, what we would need to ask ourselves, can anybody else see my light? So let me ask you, without you thinking about anything else, close your eyes for me so that you're not looking anywhere, so that you're just looking into your own heart, into your own mind. That's where we need to look. Not the person beside of us, into our own mind. Let me ask you something. Are you an identifiable light? Are you somebody that is identifiable to all those around you, whatever person group that you're in, whether it be family or work or your classmates or your team, your neighbors, your friend group? Listen, girls, you want to listen to this. We're having an invitation. Are you somebody that is shining light to the rest of the world? Are you? Now let me ask you the next thing. Have you ever truly stepped into the light and been delivered out of darkness? So right now you're going to be realizing, okay, I want to be the light of Jesus. Well, the light of Jesus is not just believing there is a God somewhere. Having the light of Jesus means you've actually accepted Jesus. You've had a conversation with Him. You realize you couldn't get to God unless you accepted that Jesus died for you, that He was a sacrifice for your sins. There's been some time when you've come to Him and said, hey, I'm lost, God. I need to accept Jesus as my Savior. Come into my heart. If you haven't done that, then you don't have any light in you except your own light. It won't light anything. If you haven't, then today I do ask you, please, during this invitation, I want to pray with you. I really want to pray with you. Please come and accept the light today, and you'll walk with that light. But if you have, if you've got this light of Jesus, is it in the middle of your house? The middle of your house is the middle of your life. When anybody walks into your life, can they see this light shining? Let your light so shine, the command of Jesus, so that everybody else can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I don't have any good works. You don't have any good works. All they can see is your relationship with God. That's the good works He's speaking about. Is your light the identifiable light that's on the candlestick? Today you know He's letting you look at yourself. You say, it's not where it needs to be, preacher. Well, then guess what? You come to Him, the God of mercy, will strengthen you and help you. It's His will for you to shine your light. He's got people coming into your life every day. You come and you kneel before Him and ask Him to give you strength to help you shine your light to your family, to your friends, to your coworkers. He'll give you that strength and He'll give you opportunities. I absolutely promise you. If you want it, ask for it. Father God, I love You. I praise You and I thank You for this time You give us. I pray, God, as You speak clearly to each one of us, let the response today, Lord, be so clear. I pray that You speak, Lord, and I pray You incline Your children, those that have accepted Your Son Jesus as Savior, to look at their own light today. Let us all see our light like I've seen mine. Lord, convict me, convict all those here to be that constant, consistent light. Change lives and families and workplaces. Change classrooms, Lord. Change neighborhoods. Change friend groups, Lord, by letting us be that light. I pray, God, that You would just be able to minister this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.